It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh, good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, also on Spotify. Nancy, how are you?
I am awesome.
Brought to you by Laser Electric and Supply.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Man, big things are hard, Nancy. I'm going to start the show out by saying doing big things are not as easy as the carousel reel on Instagram.
Nope.
They're not easy.
Not like on HGTV either.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately over the years, the pervasive and the inundation of the exposure of the quick reveal, whether that be digital or TV, you know, has really it now has made its impression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and in most cases, that impression is now permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be rewired on a regular basis. And so, it's interesting. I come to you today, and for those of you who are unfamiliar with the show, I just want to explain to you a little bit about our service arc. If you go to our website, you're going to find that there are three legs or business units that comprise the Design Coach. The first one is what we call design and decoration, which is the, you know, more commonly known as the decorative items that you know that you can finish a room with: furnishings, mm-hmm. art, accessories.
The cute stuff.
Well, the fun stuff, the layered look, right? The stuff that comes at the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of the only design firms that makes a distinction, at least that I'm aware, who makes a distinction between design and then hardcore sort of design versus decoration.
Right.
Decoration you can do over time. Design you cannot. It's a little bit more permanent.
And decoration is always fluid.
Well, decoration can be updated with very minimal pain.
Right.
And very minimal expense. So it's fun to do. You can try on trends and percentages better in decoration than you can in design build, which is the next leg, if you will, or business unit of the stool of support of the architecture of the Design Coach.
And you're design, moving your hands around a lot.
Yeah, and design build as well. You know, the Italian's coming out. So I'm sure it'll rear its head again during the show. But the design build piece is just a whole other discipline. You know, decoration and design build are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a rigidity. There's a functionality. There's a technical to the design build that just doesn't really necessarily exist with greater sense of urgency or jeopardy on the decoration side. And we'll talk throughout the course of the show about how it sometimes that decorative side, which is, it gets discounted, right? And not taken very seriously.
Right.
To the detriment of finished interiors. And that's something that we've preached at the Design Coach as well. And then this third leg that we've developed, which is a whole new innovative model, I think, in our industry, is 100% the ability to then take the home in its beautiful finished state, or hopefully finished state, and then show clients how to really enjoy it, how to maximize it,
mm-hmm.
how to celebrate in it, how to relax in it. And I know that that's not typically something that you would, you know, ascribe to an interior design firm, which we're not. We're a full-service lifestyle company. And interior design is one of the things that we do. It happens to be, to us, the gateway to designing both beautiful homes, beautiful rooms, and a more creative and beautiful life. That's at least that's the coach in a nutshell, right?
Right,
What I find is that all of those disciplines, whether what you want to live better, build better, or decorate better, all of those things come with a level of intensity that the people who can really do it successfully have an intentionality and a seriousness about it that I don't know that the rest of the world always shares. You know, why? Because we've made it look easy.
Right.
You know, we've made it look, sound, feel easy. And we've done that at a detriment to the understanding of a lot of things. One is quality. Quality costs, right? Quality labor costs, quality materials cost. You know, there's definitely a better sense of value there. And if you're only having a cost conversation and not a value conversation, and that's across the board, value lifestyle, right? How do you put value in your lifestyle? How do you put value in your design build? And how do you put value in your decoration? If those, if it's not laced with quality across the board, you're going to have failures.
Right.
You're going to have functional failures. You're going to have visual failures. And you're going to waste time and money. Now, sometimes the decision that you make on the Band-Aid, the decorative Band-Aid, is great. Can't do decorative Band-Aids in design build.
Well, it's like putting...
You end up redoing it, right?
Right. It's like putting beautiful granite countertops on particle board cabinets.
And if you do
this is not how it works.
And if you do Band-Aids in lifestyle, you've missed the moment.
Right.
You don't get them back.
Right.
So you can go back and redo a bathroom, and you can go back and redo a piece of furniture. You can't go back and redo a moment or a party or an event or a happening or a gathering. So there are levels of jeopardy where everyone's lack of intentionality in all three of those things, we help coach at the coach. That's literally, in essence, what we're trying to do. And I don't even want to say trying. We're actually successfully doing it.
Right.
Okay. In all three of those capacities, and it's no longer a model in trial. It's a model in do.
Right?
You're in right. the moment, right? Mm-hmm. You're just trying to deliver and trying to succeed every day. And you're trying to do that with intentionality and purpose and quality across the board. Recently, you've heard me talk a lot about this exciting new venture, The Vault.
Right.
Which is really on the precipice of accelerating and in some really, really exciting ways.
Well, let's go back for a second.
Sure.
How long until you think you will start doing everything?
Well, here's the thing. I'm coaching myself much better on this.
Okay.
When it's a project of the magnitude that we're talking about, mm-hmm. when it comes to like your signature showroom, your flagship experience that I've worked... Julie and I have worked over 25 years with multiple iterations of this experience in multiple locations. When we finally arrived at this place, you don't know if you're going to get a chance to do it again.
Right.
Plus, you own the building.
Right.
So you have an ownership stake in it that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do it right. And so it's interesting how much of a parallel there is between, you know, building the vault and doing this experience correctly and what we preach to clients.
Right.
And not only what we preach to clients, but what we also try to put in practice. I think what's fascinating about the journey to where we are now is it's gelling all at the same time. The concept is gelling with clients who've now been in the model for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
some not so long. The vault gelling, the team is gelling, like... It's almost as if all of these things needed to catch up to one another to
right.
crescendo or mesh at the same time. Now, think about that for a minute, right? Like, you know, all the years of experience and all of the effort trying to build this amazing team.
Right.
Trying to find the people, or more importantly, letting the people find you, which is, that's a whole nother show. But like, I really feel like I've been gifted these people. And I've been gifted my wife, and I've been gifted my family. I mean, I had to work at it, like anybody, but, you know, that's how it feels. That's the gratitude piece, right? And
sure.
then I've been gifted the opportunity to try to create this service model that's just not out there. Not because I saw it and said, you know, I want to build this thing. It was more along the lines of the client said, help, you can help me here, you can help me here. Can you help me here?
Mm-hmm.
And then the answer was, well, they're tied together anyway.
Filling in the gap.
Your home and your lifestyle are one and the same.
Right.
Do you serve your home, or does your house serve you? Does the maintenance of your home make it difficult to want to enjoy it? Does the function do the same? You know, does it detract from your wanting to entertain? And I live that right now. I mean, we're going through a major remodel at my house where, like, Julie knows that I don't want to have a lot of people over because I know it's in a state of...
Chaos. I'm with you.
And also not a true reflection of what we're able to do. And listen, I started doing the kids' rooms, and I worked for my kids' rooms to our master, our primary bedroom. The reason I'm mentioning this, and I'll wrap this up so we can springboard into the next segment, but what I want to impress upon everybody is you have to have intentionality across the board in order to do big things. And you have to be patient, but you also have to be planned. Two things, residential interior design and residential projects lack in abundance. They just lack patience and they lack planning. And what I'm finding in today's topic, which is sort of designing for couples, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When the patience gets tested and the finances get tested and the planning is not great, it will test your relationship, your resolve, and it will affect your ability to deliver on this big idea or this big endeavor. We're going to talk designing for couples, the ins and outs of it when we come back for the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sosano. Happy Sunday, everybody. Memorial Day weekend. Wow. Crazy. I can't believe it. The problem is I tried to put away the shackets.
No,
like 39
kidding.
Degrees this week up by us.
No kidding.
I don't know what's going on. Anyway, here's the deal. Big plans, big endeavors are hard things. Plan and prioritize accordingly. That's today's show as it relates to couples. Nancy, I pride myself on the ability to anticipate the needs of the team, my clients, my family. And it's when I have a level of oblivion to any of those things, that's when I get tripped.
Right.
When you're just not paying attention because you haven't prioritized or you haven't planned and you haven't been vigilant with the stewardship of the important things in your life. And for many of our clients that come to The Design Coach, what they're going to do with us is like an heirloom, once in a lifetime kind of project.
Right.
You know, a lot of my clients do smaller projects within their heirloom project, but we don't do a lot of one-off small projects that advance a home. You know, our scale of our company now has grown over 25 plus years to include really, really large projects nationwide.
Right.
And that's come with a level of diligence necessary to make sure that, as I've spoken about on other shows, that alignment of partners is big, enthusiasm of partners is you know, stays at a level where they're, you know, because that enthusiasm can get you through some of the hard times because you're doing an exciting thing and then the details get hard or they, you know, things get difficult or relationships get stressed and then that enthusiasm finds a way of evaporating pretty mm-hmm. quickly.
Right.
The one thing I didn't anticipate in this business was when things get hard, the therapeutic exercises and the therapy exercises that I would have to take on to bring them together and to make them come to life.
Mm-hmm.
I anticipated the construction needs. I anticipated the design needs. Even on the lifestyle side, I understood what a moment looked like. I mean, I was in the service industry from a very young age, at the age of, well, I wasn't 16 when I started. I should have been. My dad dropped me off at the caddy house and I was caddying at a really well-known golf course on the North Shore of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
For some great members who, it was, for anybody who knows what being a caddy looks like, especially if you want to be a really good one, you learn to anticipate the experience for the golfer, regardless of how well they're playing. And even more importantly, when they're not playing well, how to coach through 4 hours with someone plus who's in a really grumpy mood.
Huh.
Right. It is all, it's great when you're member or you're, you know, like the person you're carrying the bag for is playing great. It's a lot of fun.
Right.
That's not golf. So anybody who knows golf means that you hit more bad shots than good shots typically, right? And you live for like maybe the handful of shots that just totally went your way.
Of course.
As planned.
Right.
So therefore, there's a certain amount of failure in that, which means on the other side of that, from the service provider piece, I had to learn how to keep the golfer's ego up, or not ego, enthusiasm level up,
mm-hmm. Self-confidence.
Self-confidence, right. Calm them down, educate them. Like, if I think about what I was doing at the age of 15, 16, by trying to manage the experience, mm-hmm. to make sure that that the member or even the guest, more importantly, the guest had an enjoyable round, even if they didn't play well, enjoyed the outing, even though it didn't go as planned. That is, I mean, Nancy, think of, that's exactly what I do now.
Right.
I just carry a different set of bags.
Right.
Okay. For a different set of people, but it's the exact same exercise. I was planned for everything else that I'm embarking on, with the exception of the therapy. I didn't know that it was going to just be something that was going to be woven across the board also.
Well, you just expect everybody to be just as excited as you.
Mm.
I mean, because look at what a great project.
And
look
what's great is in the beginning they are.
Right.
The problem is that they're naive. It, when everybody starts a project, and they're going to tell you that they're not naive. I'm going to tell you that my experience tells me that they're naive to the details,
right.
The money, the finances, the timeline, the stress, the commitment. They're naive to all of it. And because it's our business, we understand it's okay to be excited about it. In fact, we want you to be excited about it. And guess what? We're excited too.
Mm-hmm.
But our responsibility beyond the technical and the cosmetic is a real effort to make sure that the alignment of the enthusiasm and the planning and the prioritization and the intentionality remains at a high level for everyone. For the purposes of today's show, I'm not going to go to the contractor level, and I'm not going to go to the alignment level on vendors or subs or my team. We're gonna assume for the moment that in this exercise, you have those relationships at a highly functioning or decent functioning level, right. to pull off what you're looking for.
Right.
And in fact, when you go look for these service providers, that's what you want. You, if you're a client, you're like, okay, I want somebody who's really well-planned, somebody who's really organized, who's going to be honest with the timeline and budget, who's going to give me transparency in a lot of ways, but who also is going to educate me and coach me through the decisions, because obviously you're not a builder or an architect or a designer. So you want that kind of coaching. It mm-hmm. is the entire reason we are named what we're named.
You're supposed to be a team.
We're supposed to be a team, and we're supposed to coach.
Right.
Okay? In fact, we believe at the Design Coach that it is inherent in our service model to coach. Not to just provide solutions, and not just to fix problems, and not just to design and select material, but to coach the client to a series of good decisions that layer on top of one another to then create the outcomes, whether it's in lifestyle, design, build, or decoration. Here's what I'm finding. That, and I want to speak to this specifically, that this process of doing big things in design, whether it be a home or even a large remodel or even a party,
right,
depending on the size, right, will reveal both the best and worst characteristics of the dynamic.
If
the relationship between the couple is already stressed, this will exacerbate it.
Mm-hmm.
It will highlight it. It will magnify it 100%.
I'm aware.
It will also, it will open the mind of the client, if they let it, to a brand new set of possibilities they would have never imagined
right.
together, which makes it an exciting journey if the couple, okay, is unified in the objective of, I want to learn and be a student because I've hired a good team. And in, I'm going to try to enjoy it even though it's going to be stressful. Let's start with the first piece. The mindset that we often find when clients come to us is they haven't talked enough about it in the right context. You know, they might have talked about generally the style of home they'd like to build, maybe the size of it. They typically have not shared enough of a financial discussion between what it takes to build it and what it takes to decorate it and finish it. That's one of the biggest disconnects, is they don't often talk about what finished means.
Right.
And sometimes, to break it out, one partner thinks finished means just build it. And then the other one's like, no, I want to build it, but I want to decorate it and finish it.
Right. Like, you have to have furniture. You have to have... The aesthetic is very important because that's a whole...
Well, it plays into exactly why we do what we do with the design coach, which is, you know, we're putting together the budgets up front that the architects and the designers will not. You know, we're putting together for you, okay, what is the build really going to run based on what the contractor is telling us, based on what the architect is drawing? What are the materials that are being applied that, you know, have a huge cost driver? And in what ways do those materials interact to then create the complete financial package of the interior and exterior? On top of that, you know, the interior plans being a lot of times on the part of architects kind of thin are left for up, they're left up to wild interpretation to try to get a hard number from the builder. And then the client does themselves a disservice by pressing for a hard number and then gets also upset on the back end because they have change orders. Well, you pressed the builder for a number.
Right.
You signed on with them because you thought that they got your vision and understood it, but you didn't bother to outline the vision prior to doing so.
It's the classic, that mistake can turn into an emergency. And while the normal saying is, your mistake is not my emergency, the fact is that in your business, somebody's mistake, the rush, will turn into an emergency, which is a change order, which is costly or can be.
But you have to remember, your decision as a client and your commitment to your project, so the decision-making process that is inherent in making sure your project has momentum, starts either up front and making all of the decisions before you build, which is rare.
Right.
Very rare. Okay, because everybody wants to run to the build. Everybody wants to run to the fun.
Right.
Okay, I see it all the time. You guys want to run to the building. We got to dig a hole. We got to dig a hole before spring because I want to be in a year, right? You run.
Right.
And the builder's like, yeah, let's run, right? Because it means revenue.
Right.
He can start. I love that. The architect's like, okay, good enough to go. Stamp.
Right.
Go, right? Well, that's not how we view projects.
Right.
Okay. We want to run too. But we also want to run and have shoes on. We want to have run and make sure we're dressed, that we didn't leave our shirt off, that we're not wearing underwear outside of our pants.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we want to run too.
True.
Okay? But try to run and get dressed while you're running. That is a very good analogy for how some people approach their remodels and their builds.
Absolutely.
You try to decorate and get dressed and do your makeup, tie your tie while you're running.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that.
Yep.
Right there. That's one true. Of the best analogies I think I've ever come up with.
With
rushing your build and rushing your design.
Yep.
The reason I mentioned the lack of preparation or prioritization on the part of the couple today is because one of the most important things you can do is have a guide, an arbiter, if you will, to be able to have those discussions with you so early in the process. One that you trust, that is okay letting you use your kind of messed up words.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those messed up words are to one another. Not judging you for it, not judging either partner for it, but then trying to make sense of what is already inherently going to be a not fully formulated thought. If you have the design of your home completely done in your mind, then you don't need a lot of partners.
Right. You just need somebody to do it.
You need someone to do it. Well, I don't know what superhero exists on the planet that can make that happen. I haven't met him or her.
Okay. It can't be one person.
Well, it can't be with these really large projects because
right.
they take teams.
Right.
And oftentimes it can't be one decorator or designer because sometimes that's not enough to take on all of these responsibilities. You know, there is strength in the team.
Right.
Provided there's a strong team. I'm going to say that again. There's strength in the team, provided that it's a strong team. So it starts with the understanding that, let's just say, like I said before, you've hired a strong team. When the clients come to us as a couple, they have the highest aspirations, all of these desires, all of these conflicting but beautiful thoughts. They have no idea how much some of this costs. They've Pinterest themselves to a point where I could, it's like I said, it's a ransom note of demands and desires.
I love that.
And our job is to filter through all of that, to try to glean from it a style that's original and not a copycat.
put together the puzzle.
So let's talk about what happens in this dynamic in our industry to ease that. There's two approaches. Approach number one is put together a look you know people like that they don't have to think about. That's the popular design trends and builds that you currently see that go in and out of style. Modern Farmhouse was one of those. French Chateau in the Turret in Suburbia was another one of those. Okay. Like everybody wanted all this stone and they wanted stone all the way around. Nobody wanted the stone facade because obviously it made it look like they cheaped out. Like, listen, right. We could go on and on and on about stylization and how a popular trend or a style was just an easy plug-in to get it done. The problem is that's not custom. It was packaged as custom. It was packaged as one of a kind. And now we know that that's not the case. Well, we're still in that cycle today. It's just called Modern Mountain. It's just called a different name, okay? And what we're looking to do with the Design Coach, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the second way you can go about doing the therapy of designing with and for couples and how we approach it at the Design Coach to lead them to a better understanding of how to do it together. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Nancy, I can see that you're really intently listening to this.
Oh, boy.
Because I think
for
a
once.
Lot of... Listen, I, just so you know, and welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, brought to you by Laser Electric and Supply, also on Spotify for those of you listening on that platform. What I wanted, you know, before the break, we talked about, you know, there's a reason why the interior design, build, and architectural landscape is full of formulas.
Right.
The formulas take exactly what I'm talking about and make it easier. But it's not unique. And unfortunately, it's not all that special. I hate to break it to you.
Right.
You'll have to pack it with more special because your house kind of looks a lot like everyone else's. So we got to try to find a way to amp up the personal,
right,
which we can do through decoration. But you, what you do by giving into that trend or that look or that style as a formula, regardless of the designer, the architect, or the builder, when you give into the formula, you give away a piece of your originality.
Right.
You just do.
It's cookie cutter.
You give away a piece of your signature for this large heirloom project. If you're cool with that trade-off, you don't call me. If you're cool with the trade-off that says, that's the style I want, I know exactly what I want, they do it well, I don't want to think about it, guide me to that outcome and I'm going to be happy, great. It's just not original. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. And it might be luxurious and it might also be expensive. And it also might not be expensive. It also might be of quality or might not be of quality. But you haven't really... That's not the journey you wanted to take. The journey you wanted to take is much like going to Europe on a bus. And you go on the tour, and the tour takes you to the places that it's going to go, and you see the things that you're going to see, and that you see the highlights, and it looks great, and you had a fantastic time, but you missed maybe the culture. Maybe you missed the small inn and pub.
Right.
You know, maybe you missed the interaction with the local population that would have enhanced your experience and understanding of the culture. You just saw the highlights. That's my problem with formulaic design. That's one way to go. You can call me. You can rail me for that. You can rail on me for that. You can do whatever you want. And because I know that I've seen it. Because you know why? I've seen clients call me to say, I would have done it differently if I had a chance to do it again. I can't imagine a worse place to be after spending the money,
right,
the time, the energy, and effort to feel like the home that I built and designed looks marginally different than the 9 others that the formulaic builder, designer, or architect drew up.
So many missed opportunities.
Because it also made it about their style, the designer's style, the builder's capability, and then the architect's overall vision. It made it about them. And we just believe at the Design Coach, it should be about you.
Your money.
And we believe we can find and assemble a strong team in order to do that. Here's where this gets at the couple conversation. For some couples, they need that.
Yeah.
Just make it easy.
Well, yeah, because right? That's hard to argue over.
It's hard to argue over. You know you're both in agreement of it, and it works for you.
This is what it is.
It's easy button for them.
Exactly.
What we do with the design coach is a little different. We're trying to find your unique signature, your unique heirloom property, your unique heirloom experience that only you can have and possess and create. In order to do that, the psychology of how to do it matters in ways that with other service providers in my industry, it probably does not. This is what we do. This is the materials. Here's your choices. Here's five. This is the look. This fits. Oh, I love it. It's beautiful. Great. Done. Right? It costs what it costs.
Right.
What we're trying to do is get to the fundamental question of how do you want to live? More importantly, who do you want to be? What do you want to say with this property? What do you want to say to the people who come to it? And how do you want to enrich your lives and theirs through the experiences that you will have within it by design? You see the difference? The difference is it's totally individual.
Totally.
It's totally unique. Every calculus is different. Every equation has different components to it. Like it's crazy what a beautiful journey we've been on to be able to create some of the most personal spaces that were client style driven. We just made sure that they obeyed some of their own rules.
Right.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
So that they stayed cohesive and beautiful, but it was more a reflection of them than us. One of the biggest compliments we get in this conversation with couples at the end is, we would have never chosen some of these things, but they fit us. Who we are, who we were, and who we want to be.
And satisfies
so
their
exciting.
Intentions.
So, but it's not done with a formula.
No.
And so what I'm going to do on today's show is I'm going to kind of walk you through the psychological process.
Oh, goody.
In the planning and in the prioritization. Let's just start there. The biggest thing that you have to do when you want to try to dig into a real heirloom project where you want it to have max personality and originality. I say that again, max personality and originality is that you have to make time for it. That's hard, Nancy. You know, we talk about, you know, these big things. People are not prepared. They think just because they hire someone that they should just be taking care of all of that on your behalf.
Right.
But what they don't realize is that in order to make it truly personal and truly original, that you need to have the collaborative structure of the relationship needs to be really strong. And you can't have a collaborative structure if you haven't dedicated the time. See, the design team, the build team, the architectural team, if you hired the right team, they're going to make time.
Right.
Clients need to see it the same way. The couples need to see it the same way. I will tell you, I can't tell you how many disconnects I have when I'm only dealing with one partner. That can be difficult. It's okay that partners have communicated differently, separately, but together as a way to unify. But some of my most successful design meetings have been on Sunday afternoons over the phone because it's the only time I can get the executive, right?
Right. Both of them together.
Mm-hmm. The executives together, both decision makers together. It's the only time. And I love it. Why? Because you come out of those meetings, even though it's on a Sunday, not regular business hours, with the amount of context and clarity as their project lead.
Well, and they've been
to be able to design accordingly and then instruct your team.
And they've been able to devote the attention to it because they're not at work. They're not dealing with something else during the week. And, you know, generally Sunday afternoons are...
It's amazing how many service providers, I don't understand that.
Right. Oh, I'm sure.
When I was a caddy, you know when people golf most of the time?
Early
weekends.
Morning. Right. And early morning.
So I had to give up my weekends
in
service to my clients to make the money that I made and have the experiences that I had. I didn't mean I didn't caddy during the week. I did. But the weekends were busier.
Right.
You know, some of these big projects, sometimes the only time people are available is evening and weekends. I have made it part of my signature service to say, okay, within reason, I need to be able to catch you when I can catch you. When can we do that?
Right.
And as the project gains momentum, you can cheat a little. In other words, you can start calling a little bit earlier in the day. You can respond via text to get quick decisions made after that is intact. But what I have found in the beginning is that if there's a disconnect in making the time, you will never get momentum. That's very common. well, I'm not really into that. I don't think he can make the meeting, or she can make the meeting, or I don't, you know, well, I'm available, but they're not. If I can't even get to you, it's hard to complete your design.
Right.
Okay. And it's not just get to you once, it's get to you on a regular basis.
Right.
The level of intentionality, obviously, if you're going to hire good service providers, you want them to have a high level of intentionality. Well, that has to be matched, or at least honored. And I find that couples do not have the conversations about what it's going to take to commit the time to doing it. They're ready to spend the money. They're ready to make the selections. They have no idea how many there are. They are woefully unprepared for the amount of information and decisions that they need to make, which is then why they hire someone else to do it in a formulaic way, or hire someone to do it with them in an original, in a way that reflects personality and is lifestyle driven. But none of that matters if you don't dedicate the time. I think the one thing I want to encourage people to do is, before you take on these endeavors, think about the time commitment. Your feedback, good or bad, your feedback, clear or unclear. If I don't get the time and I don't get the feedback, I can't design for you. I can't do this big thing for you. And I want to do it with you.
Well,
and
how would you? You're not a mind
and
reader.
And I'm excited about it too. No, but it's right. Amazing how many clients, and I'm talking about clients across the board. Even the ones at the Design Coach where we're like, okay. And then listen, of course you try different delivery methods.
Right.
Of how, you know, some people are email people. Some people are text people, right? Try to design a multi-million dollar home via text is not going to work. Okay. This is not going to work.
No.
Right. But I do believe this, that if I come with a structure of what time can we agree on as a touch point, that is one way to get rhythm. But it's a whole nother thing if the client says, hey, we're both available during this time. We've set aside this time for the next, let's just say, 3 to 6 months in design. Please help us drive on this, and please help us get the answers that we need. That comes from surrendering to the team. If your posture as a couple is we're paying for it, so therefore you do it when we say do it, or we it's given to you last minute, not going to work.
That's disrespectful, though.
No.
You shouldn't be doing that to
just,
anybody.
It's just not being a great collaborative partner,
right.
Which is why maybe a formulaic way to approach your design, build, remodel is the way to go.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Great. It's just not what we do. And it's not the way I think big things should be done. I don't think it's the way anything really should be done. You should have context and clarity. You should have really good discussions. And more in this society, we use less and less of our words to really communicate the way we're feeling about something. And what's great is, I think that we do it, and I think it's important for your service provider, especially this arbiter of creative and financial and process and sequencing, I really believe it's important for this person to be strong in that space as your therapist. Oh, as your creative and financial and design build therapist and your lifestyle therapist, I need to be strong in that space. That's hard, guys. It's hard.
Yeah.
But it's so rewarding. Provided that the client trusts you, acknowledges it, and honors the fact that you're right, I need to dedicate the time. I have had to have that conversation over the years with many clients, even clients that originally gave you a lot of time in the beginning, and then life gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, those things take precedence. Obviously, you know, your family's health, you know, their well-being, all of those things are more important than doing the big thing, but they are going to delay it if we don't try to maintain some momentum.
Right.
It's the tact. It's the deftness. It's the empathy within that space. It's the care, the coaching, and the encouragement that can make all the difference in the world. Any of those things that I just described, did they describe your formulaic service provider?
No.
Okay. The therapy side of this, and I don't mean therapy like they need help, but they do need help talking about it together. When we come back from the break, here's what we're going to talk about. We sort of outlined the formulaic way to go and then dedicating the time to it. We're going to talk next, in the next couple segments, Nancy, we're going to talk about the tools that we put in place to help gain traction from the momentum. So if you've dedicated the time, what's next? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
I was reminded that this is segment 4.
Right. I would love to give you a couple more segments.
But... I know I would too. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Cecilia. We're talking about designing for couples. And in the last couple of segments, we've sort of given a really, pretty comprehensive outline of, you got to dedicate the time.
Right.
You got to put together a strong team. But now we're going to talk, other than time, we're going to talk about tools.
Oh, good.
Because I think that the tools are the thing that gets missed also. It sounds really obvious to everybody that it's like, well, of course you got to dedicate the time to a big build. Let me tell you how oftentimes it becomes a discretionary activity. Oh my gosh, I got to meet with the designer. Oh my gosh, what does the builder want? Oh my God. Like, right? It becomes this inconvenience. And a lot of people, if you're listening and that wasn't your experience, good for you.
Great. Yeah, that's great.
That's not the majority of people. The majority of people, they're getting hounded to pick light fixtures while they're in the middle of their life. Okay, because the builder didn't plan ahead of time and is trying to get them to make these decisions, or maybe they procrastinated and changed their mind 8 times.
Right.
Because they couldn't trust.
So or they couldn't even agree.
So I'm going to tell you the 3 T's.
Oh, good.
We covered the first one. The first one is time. You got to dedicate the time. The second one, which leads to the tools. And sometimes the tools help this one. So these are kind of connected. The second 2 T's are trust and tools. Let me tell you why they go hand in hand. Let's just explain that. What I love is when I'm about to have a conversation with someone who needs my time. And this gets very true of any executive, busy person. You appreciate framing. Hi, I need 5 minutes of your time to talk about the following 3 things. Boom, boom, boom. I really appreciate when people do that versus, hi, I need to talk to you. Call me. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's just alarming.
It's just, well, first of all, yes, it's alarming.
Right.
But the second thing that it is, it's like provide some context.
Right. It doesn't allow you to take the time in the process.
Well, to get your mind. And right. I've talked about this with good communication.
Right.
Across the board. Like framing is everything. Right. Hi, I need you. Not a 911, but I need it before end of day. Great.
That's kind of a 911, right?
No, but, I mean, but that's a good thing. Right, like, yeah. Hey, don't stop what you're doing.
Right.
Okay? The reason I say that the tools are helpful is because we've started putting together what we're calling micro issuances of design and micro agendas. Let me explain the process a little bit. All of the clients want to see it all put together. The problem is that's like showing you the entire menu at one time and then asking you what you want to eat. You're going to say everything.
Right.
Because it all looks good. Rather than the process that we embark on of the design coaches, we start with the build decisions first and we layer the look based on what you love. And then you have to trust that every step of the way we're having good conversations about what you love and that your compilation of loves leads you to a room or in a home and in a lifestyle you love. Did I explain that properly?
Yeah.
Versus saying, here's the lifestyle you're going to love. Here's all of your choices. Here's all of the things. And not having me do the editing for you.
Right.
See, if I do that, then I'm no better than the formulaic, designers who do what they do.
Seems to me like that's going to lead to a lot of disappointment because you're going to pick and choose and then you're going to have to come back and say, okay, but we can't necessarily do
let's do it one better. I'm not a court jester. I don't get to parade in front of the king and queen and you get to thumbs up and thumbs down my design. That is not the way this is working. I don't run in stage right with my jester head on and be like, what do you think of this? And then they're like, no, right? Behead him, right? Like, no. This is a real creative collaboration involving really big dollar amounts, a lot of people's time, energy, and effort. Treat it the way it needs to on the time side, but on the trust side, the micro issuances of decision-making, meaning like, let's talk floor plan first. Well, what's the color of the couch? Stop running to the fun and the aesthetic. Let's talk function first.
Put your underwear on.
Because yes, like function first. Before you start running, let's get dressed. Are your shoes tied?
Right.
Okay, like there are certain parts of the process that really need to be layered in order to be connected properly and identify opportunities within the layering of the look. I'm not going to outline that whole process for everyone because it's exhaustive. I mean, it's a great process that we walk our clients through. It is when we have deviated from that, that we have experienced service breakdowns.
Right.
I am here to tell you, we right now are looking at this and saying, nope, this model works. If it's not the model you want, then we understand.
Right.
It's okay. You might not be a design coach client. And that's okay, right? I've always said, I'm an acquired taste, okay? But my process works. Our process works. Our builders achieve things on the build side they've never done before. They might be reluctant to admit it, but it's true. And then they come to eventually really appreciate it. Like, oh, I know he'll help me figure it out in the field because he's got me.
He trusts you.
Same thing with, he trusts me. The clients have to trust the process. Now, what gives them trust in the process is clarity on where you want to go, and that's where the framing comes in. See, that's where the agendas and the mini agendas come in. We've been doing for quite some time weekly touch points with the clients, the builder, and the architect to make sure that things are aligned. This is not a new thing in my industry, but I think the way we do it's kind of different. We try to come away with those micro issuances in bite-sized chunks, so that we can gain agreement and keep momentum moving from week to week. Sometimes those decisions are a lot because there's a lot of cosmetic ones that can be glued together and it's fairly easy. What I have found is if you lay a great foundation in the design build elements of a project and you've done proper planning and prioritization, as you walk a client through the tools that you're using to structure the discussions in the form of an agenda, in the form of framing, and in the form of time blocking, which is basically like, hey, I need you from 3 to 4.
Right.
Can't do 3 to 4. Great. Can you do 5 to 6? But I need an hour. We're super respectful with the understanding that we're asking for it, but we are asking for it. And we're well planned. We come to the meeting prepared. We come to the meeting understanding how all the puzzle pieces fit together. We're not spraying and praying the design. And these days, the other thing we're doing is we're doing the budget exercise simultaneous with the creative. That's fun.
Yeah.
Because then the clients have the financial clarity and the construction clarity and the creative clarity to marry it all. That's awesome. And they didn't do it in a formulaic way. They got to choose their building material and explore different styles. They got to do the journey, right? They got to do the exploration. They get to experience the discovery of new things. Hard to do formulaic. Hard to do when it's being chosen for you. Hard to do when you're on a timeline from the beginning of 8 months. How long is the build going to take? I don't know. How good are you at committing to this? How good are you at committing and making decisions? How good are you at trusting the process? Are you looking at my tools? You're going to tell me it's on me. I'm going to tell you it's on you.
Right.
Tough love for the clients today on the couple side. Guys, it's on you. Most design professionals, builders, architects that I know, they want to do a good job. One of their biggest frustrations is the commitment of the client in time, trust, and tools. We give them the tools all the time. They don't even look at them. We dedicate the time all the time. Sometimes they don't show up. Right? We make a decision. We think we have a decision. We have something on. And then their friend goes and shows them the latest sale from our house or a retailer. And the next thing you know, our design is blown out of the water.
For it's a lack
to
of trust.
To save
right.
a couple $100.
Right.
Well, what are we doing here? That's not a dynamic that is that's a dynamic that leads to you self-sabotaging your own project.
Exactly.
I'm here to tell you on the couple side of things, that's the conversation you need to have early. The 3 T's. Okay? What kind of time are we going to dedicate as a couple to doing this? What's our trust level in the people that we've hired or the people we want to hire? What's the trust level in each other for hearing out the desires and allowing the couples to use their messy words without judgment? You and I talked off air about this being a poison and a toxin. When one partner hears a suggestion and immediately shames the decision.
Right.
Or comes up with all of the reasons why it can't be done.
Right.
Versus talking it out and then eventually maybe coming to the realization that it's not feasible. But the idea was never given breath. I haven't had too many couples lately in that dynamic, but over 25 years, I've had quite a few. And I'm getting really good at identifying early whether or not you're that kind of couple. Like I can kind of see it.
Sure.
I can see it in the way, I can see it early. I'm not going to tell you all the ways because it's a little bit of a whisperer secret, but mm-hmm. I know. I can look at it and say, I don't know about that. Okay? Mm-hmm. There is a deference that needs to happen between the couples to be able to really let them express something that hasn't been expressed before. Maybe there are ideas you've been thinking about, but because of the busyness of your life, you haven't expressed. And you come to a creative meeting and you want to express that for the first time. And your partner shuts it down. Or you let the other gobbledygook of your life that you have anger about or anxiety about, mm-hmm. you bring that to the meeting too. You just have to know that as a design coach, I know that that's what you're bringing. You're bringing all of that baggage. But as long as you can trust that we're going to find a way through it, we can do it with tact. Tact. It's a really simple thing.
Right.
It's tact. Tact is like empathetic speech. Right? It's like appropriateness. It's kindness. It's listening. But then it's also response and action. The amount of heart and soul that we put into the communications in our projects is really high. All we want is for the clients to honor that with an understanding of that we're trying to help them help themselves. I mean, if you don't think there's a Jerry Maguire line in there, help me help you.
Right.
That's every freaking client.
Right.
Help me help you. How do I get you out of your own head? How do I get you out of your own way? How do I get you out of his way, her way, their way, whatever?
Well, like I said, you are not a mind reader.
I'm not. But I do know what good collaboration looks like. I do know what healthy, creative, and collaborative relationships can do and what they can achieve. If that's you, my advice to couples on this Sunday morning is have the 3T discussion early. What are we talking about here in terms of time? What are we talking about in terms of trust in each other and the team, right? And what tools are we going to put in place, or can someone help us put in place to keep us accountable? Because you're going to need it to do big things. Why, Nancy? Because big things are hard. Have a great Sunday, everybody. You've been coached.